Speaker will be Adam Heitman.
Everybody a second to get out of the room. Yeah, I know. I must smell or something. Good afternoon. My name is Adam Heitman. I'm a master's student at North Carolina State University in the Crop Science Department, and today I'll be talking about the nitrogen fertilization response of dedicated bioenergy sorghums. First-generation biofuels, such as corn ethanol, have been the most widely adopted form of bioenergy, but that makes very little sense for the state of North Carolina, as we're already a net importer of corn. So this reinforces the importance of identifying alternative forms of or alternative bioenergy feedstocks. In eastern North Carolina, we have a unique opportunity. The livestock production is a key component of the state's agricultural economy. And annually, there are 8.8 million pigs in the state, most of which are found in the coastal plain region of the state. And associated with this livestock production are swine effluent spray fields. As of last year, there were roughly 50 million hectares of permitted acres for application of swine waste. And the key to getting approved for growing on the swine effluent spray fields is knowledge of the agronomic management practices, such as dry matter yield potential, and nutrient removal potential. So that brings us to our objectives, and they were to determine the dry matter yield of two sorghum cultivars and to analyze the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium concentration and removal for those two cultivars. So the site was established in 2012, and we've been doing it for 3 years. And it's in the coastal plain region of North Carolina. The experimental unit is 3 meters wide by 9 meters long, and we have a 76 centimeter row spacing, so that means we have four row width for each of our experimental units. The seeding rate that we used was 247,000 seeds per hectare, and all other nutrients besides nitrogen we applied based on the recommendations for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture's soil testing lab. For this study, a sorghum fallow rotation was used to minimize carryover effects from the nitrogen fertilization. So within the same field, we had two adjacent sets of plots, and each set of plots consisted of two side-by-side plots for each cultivar. And as you can see here, in 2012, we had a portion that was fallowed on the left, and then plot area for one cultivar and the other cultivar. And in 2013, we flipped it so that the plot area for each sorghum was in the fallow part from 2012, and then we fallowed the plot area from 2012. And then in 2014, it was back to the original positions that it was in 2012. Something to note here is every nitrogen treatment returned to the same exact place that it did in 2012. For harvest, we waited until mid-reproductive stages, which was roughly 140 days. We harvested the center two rows of each experimental unit, and we clipped it at a 15-centimeter cut height. The two cultivars that we used were Blade ES5200 as a biomass sorghum and M81E as our sweet cultivar. We used five different nitrogen rates: 0, 67, 134, 201, and 268 kilograms per hectare. All nitrogen was applied at planting, and it was in the form of a granular urea that was treated with Agritain. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design that we replicated four times. That's for each cultivar, and both cultivars were analyzed separately. We had a block as a random effect, and our fixed effects were nitrogen rate, year, and then the interaction between nitrogen rate and year. In the case when nitrogen rate was significant, we used orthogonal contrast to analyze the response. And then for dry matter yield, when nitrogen rate was significant, we used a linear plus plateau model. The reason for using this type of model was it's a common method used in the state to measure agronomic response. Our response variables were dry matter yield, and then nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium concentration, as well as removal. Let's talk about our results for the biomass sorghum. As you can see, when we analyzed it, we had both a nitrogen rate effect and a year effect. And when we used our contrast, we saw that there was both a linear and a cubic effect, which I know doesn't make a whole lot of sense to see a cubic effect, but when you see the data, it'll make a little bit more sense. Since we had our nitrogen rate was significant, we applied the linear plus plateau model, and we found that we had a plateau yield of 17.5 megagrams per hectare and a critical nitrogen rate of 74 kilograms per hectare. And as you can see, our confidence interval for the plateau was 16.6 to 18.4 megagrams per hectare, and our critical nitrogen rate ranged from 33 to 114 kilograms per hectare. So if we do that, look at that graphically, you can see that we have a linear response below 74 kilograms, increasing to that 17.5. And as you can kind of see, that 201 kilograms per hectare nitrogen rate, we have a little bit of a dip down in our yield, so that's why we're seeing a cubic effect. Moving on, we'll look at the plant tissue concentration and removal. As we saw, as nitrogen rate increased, we saw an increase in nitrogen concentration, which makes sense, increased from 6.6 to 8.1. However, for phosphorus and potassium, as nitrogen rate increased, we saw a decrease in concentration. Looking at nitrogen removal, as we increased nitrogen rate, we had an increase of removal from 92 pounds to 150 pounds, or excuse me, 92 kilograms to 150 kilograms per hectare. And phosphorus and potassium removal were not significant. And looking at the contrast, similar to dry matter yield, the nitrogen concentration also had a linear and cubic response. However, everything else, the potassium and phosphorus concentration, as well as the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, or excuse me, the nitrogen removal, were all linear. So in summary, we did have a dry matter yield response to nitrogen fertilization rate, and when we looked at our linear plateau plus plateau model, we had a critical nitrogen rate of 74 kilograms per hectare and a plateau yield of 17.5 megagrams per hectare. Nitrogen concentration for biomass sorghum increased with nitrogen rate as well as nitrogen removal. However, phosphorus and potassium concentration decreased with nitrogen rate, and phosphorus and potassium removal were no different with nitrogen rate. For sweet sorghum, we did not have a nitrogen rate effect, but we did have a year effect. And if you look at the average yearly mean, the yearly mean for each, for 2012 and 2013, they were similar in that they were about 11.5 megagrams per hectare, but in 2014, we had an increase to about 15 megagrams per hectare. The with nitrogen rate increase, we saw a nitrogen rate or a nitrogen concentration increase for sweet sorghum. However, we did not see a phosphorus and potassium concentration effect, unlike we did with biomass sorghum. Also, with the nitrogen removal increase with nitrogen rate, and both the nitrogen concentration and nitrogen removal had a contrast linear response. In summary, there was no dry matter yield response for the nitrogen fertilization rate of sweet sorghum, but there was a nitrogen concentration increase as well as a nitrogen removal increase with nitrogen rate. In conclusion, the two sorghum cultivars did not respond in the same manner for dry matter yield to nitrogen fertilization. But both cultivars did have a similar effect when to nitrogen rate when considering nitrogen concentration and nitrogen removal. And for both years, there was a year effect on dry matter yield. And for biomass sorghum, our yearly means were ranged from 14.7 megagrams per hectare to 18.2. And for our sweet sorghum, our dry matter yields ranged from 11.1 to 15 megagrams per hectare. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors at this time and entertain any questions you have.
Time for a couple questions here. What was grown on those on that land before you put these on?
It was corn.
And it was highly fertilized?
It was highly fertilized, but looking at the initial soil analysis, there's nothing that nitrogen was not a factor. It had very high levels of P and K, but nitrogen was not out of the norm. It's a very sandy soil. It's very little residual nitrogen.
Thank you.